Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
I have a feeling things might get a little bit interesting in our next 24 minutes on Oilers Now. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers Now brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. I will tell you that in this hour at 1:35 today, NHL Network analyst, former NHL player Mike Rupp, who is also a Danbury Trasher. This on the heels of the Netflix documentary Untold, Crime and Penalties, the story about the Galante ownership of Danbury, a team that committed to sort of a fusion between WWE, was once WWF back in the day, but live wrestling and hockey enforcement of the Flyers of the 70s, and the team was owned by a gentleman who... Well, he served time for being involved in organized crime. It's quite the story. It's a fascinating documentary. So that is coming down the pipe at 1:35 today. That is with Michael Rupp. We're going to head off momentarily to the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline at 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort and Casino excitement bet on it, where we hook up with David Staples from the Cult of Hockey Provincial Affairs columnist for the Edmonton Journal. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
All right, let's cut to the chase, and I'm going to give a heads up here for all our listeners. If you're one of those listeners, I just want hockey the entire time for the entire 2 minutes or 2 hours of the show. I want to know who's going to be on the Oilers ECHL affiliate on the third and fourth lines. I need to know that. So, Stauffer, if you're not going to talk about hockey, and forget it. This is your time right now. I'm giving this you an opportunity right here, right now. You don't have to listen for about the next 90 seconds because we're going to delve into an area that might impact hockey and your ability to watch hockey. And that is what is going on with the province. David, I'm hearing conflict. I'm getting guys texting me. Apparently, I'm told that some individuals within the cabinet, the cabinet's got it locked down right now. There's wide-ranging opinion as to what's going to occur over the next 48 hours in the province of Alberta. This is right in your wheelhouse. You're the provincial affairs columnist. You've been outspoken on the issue of COVID from the beginning to the point that you have some young lefties out there that think that you're actually a talking source for the Conservatives, for the UCP. But what are you hearing? Are we headed to another lockdown here? Is it inevitable that we have a vaccine passport? What's going to happen, David?
I've asked people I know, Bob, and I can't answer that. I'm not hearing back from them. And I should say that I like talking about the ECHL third liners myself. But, yeah, COVID affects everything, Bob. And what I expect to happen at the province, I don't think there's a lot of... There's two options. There's two things they need to do right now. Number one, and they're already doing this, we can't have another lockdown of the fully vaccinated. We cannot have the harm, the massive harm that will come shutting down Alberta for the fully vaccinated. They've got to avoid that at all costs. There'll be no coming back from that for the UCP. Another massive lockdown of fully unvaccinated people, they won't accept it. So what can they do? Bob, they've got to bring in a vaccine passport.
All right, wait a second.
And I changed my mind on this, and I think they're going to do it.
Okay, just a sec. You said initially they can't lock down the vaccinated, and you're saying they can't lock down the unvaccinated.
So I'm saying they can lock down the unvaccinated. They've got to bring in. That's the people who are not vaccinated right now. They don't want a lockdown. But, Bob, they are 32 times more likely to end up in ICU than fully vaccinated people. 32 times more likely to end up. They are overrunning our ICUs. And if this is what it takes to avoid a full lockdown of the fully vaccinated people, then I think that's fair. Fair is fair. You can choose not to get the needle, and then, but that means you can't go to the bar or the restaurant or the Oiler game. And I think it's a terrible solution, but it's the least worst solution. The other thing they have to do, Bob, is, and they're doing it right now, they've got to pull out all the stops to ramp up hospital care. In previous years, they've talked about field hospitals when there's been terrible flu seasons. That was contemplated in 2017, I believe. We've contemplated field hospitals before at the Butterdome and other places when COVID's gotten really bad. That's got to be on the table, that kind of care, because the harm that flows out of a major lockdown in terms of opioid deaths, job loss, public mental health issues, it's too extreme. We can't go through it again, and it's not called for when you have all of these people who are fully vaccinated and should be able to get on with their lives and need to get on with their lives, because the harm has been too great already.
Just to provide some context, and I have the numbers all the way back to May of 2020. Currently in the province of Alberta, 71.3% 12 plus fully vaccinated. The district I live in, David, in Twin Brooks, is at 84% fully vaccinated, 12 plus. So we have other districts below 55%. We have communities that do not trust the government, so they don't trust the process. Alberta right now has, in Edmonton, we have 291 people in hospital, 94 people in ICU. So to put things in perspective, just to show you how this has grown over the last 6 weeks, on August the 3rd, Edmonton had 27 people in hospital and 8 people in ICU on August the 3rd. And we are at 65.8% full vax. And we're up to 71.3. So we lost a lot of momentum what we had at that time. 27 people in the hospital, 8 people in ICU on August the 3rd. As of yesterday, 291 people in the hospital, 94 people in ICU. What was the probability, you said, statistical probability on unvaccinated versus vaccinated?
32 times more likely if you haven't had the jab that you're going to end up in ICU. For the last 4 months, that's what it's been, 32 times more likely. So people are weighing this issue in their own lives. That's something that they should weigh. This virus, with the Delta variant of it, is highly contagious. I think some people thought they could sit out the pandemic, not get the jab, and kind of not get COVID. I think that's really unlikely. You're going to get COVID in the next few years. And my own decision was, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get COVID in the next few years. I want to have that extra protection. So people have to take that kind of information and make up their own minds. I hope they make the right choice. And listen, Bob, the Kenny government, they are dead wrong right now, dead wrong on the vaccine passport. They have got to act. They've got to bring one in. There's no social contract which is going to allow a massive lockdown in Alberta if they haven't first tried at least a vaccine passport on people who are unvaccinated. And it's not going to be easy on them. It'll be hard on them. But again, I don't see, there's no other fair solution right now.
All right. There you go. So now we're going to switch to hockey. Thank you, David, for providing some information and perspective. And you've been writing about this, and you have two separate Twitter accounts. So if people want some of your perspectives on things, maybe give them the sort of newsy David Staples.
The political stuff.
Yeah, provincial affairs columnist stuff. How do people follow you for that?
At David Staples, YEG, YEG, on Twitter.
All right, here we go. Rumblings came out, and it became a little bit noticeable involving Dylan Holloway when he was not out with the big boys and the captain skates here the last couple days. Gets confirmed this morning, 9 a.m., right at the start of rookie camp for the Oilers organization. Boom, Dylan Holloway, minimum 3 months. Probably more realistically 4 to 6 months getting surgery again on that scaphoid. Your thoughts?
that's just really tough for Dylan Holloway and for the Edmonton Oilers organization. I mean, he had the one surgery. We don't know what happened, if it was ineffective, insufficient. Obviously, it didn't work to solve the problem. I mean, he already missed. He had an opportunity. He got hurt at the end of his college hockey season. He already missed an opportunity to go to the Bakersfield Condors last year, or potentially, even if he had killed it, maybe play for the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs. So that already the injury has taken that away from him. And now this, it can't be easy for him, and it's a really hard blow for him. That all that said, Bob, he's 19. You don't generally hear about an injury like this keeping players out for that long. Maybe for this amount of time, yes, but he should be back strong. And the way he played last year in college hockey, he was one of the single best players in all of U.S. college hockey, which is a high level, full of first round and second round draft picks for the NHL. And he was a dominant, absolutely dominant player at that level with his speed, his hitting, and his skill. So it's frustrating. Like, I just have been chomping at the bit to see this fantastic young player get a chance with the Edmonton Oilers. And I think on the wing, it could be sooner than later, because not as much defensive responsibility for wingers in the NHL. So there's a real chance he could come in and come in fast. We could still see him. Now, what you're saying sounds reasonable, that this could even be more than 3 months, that we could be looking at longer than that. So that's hard to hear. But I still can't wait to see him play.
Yeah, I'm still quite optimistic about what Dylan Holloway is going to be able to provide the Edmonton Oilers organization. Today, David, the Oilers made both Philip Broberg and Dmitry Samarukov available. We have an interesting scenario potentially down on the farm. Let's just assume the Oilers' four left-shot defensemen that'll be here in the NHL to start the season are Darnell Nurse, Duncan Keith, Slater Koekkoek, and Chris Russell. And on the right side, we're looking at Tyson Barry along with Cody Ceci and Evan Bouchard. In that sort of template, that would mean the left shot options on the farm: William Lagesson, who would need to clear waivers, and I do believe he'd clear waivers just to set the record straight, because lots of people have a tweener defenseman, and he's on a one-way deal, which will scare off some of the cheaper organizations who've maybe committed themselves already to a rebuild, like Arizona and Buffalo. But Broberg, Samarukov, Lagesson, Niemelainen, all on NHL deals on the left side. Not to mention on the right side, Kemp, Kesserlein, and Berglund, all right-shot guys on NHL deals. And then Desharnais, who's going to play on the farm on an AHL deal, and Yanni Caldas's depth guy. They've got a lot of depth on that farm team, don't they, right now?
That's nine deep, with Caldas. That is nine deep, and the guys that would be on the the fourth pairing, Desharnais or Kemp, and I don't know who of those guys on the left side you could have on the fourth pairing. They could play regularly third pairing in the AHL without any problem. So there had been some talk about maybe having another AHL veteran go down there, and I'm glad the Oilers didn't decide to go that route with all of these players. Now there's not a lot of North American experience necessarily on that unit, but Philip Berglund, or Berglund as they call him in Sweden, he was a top pairing defenseman the last 2 years in the top Swedish league. Samarukov crushed it for Moscow CSKA in the KHL, which is the best league, a better league than the AHL. And one of the things I wouldn't be surprised to see them do, and I know that they don't like moving the lefties to the right side, but Samarukov played all last year on the right side in Moscow. And I think they might be hesitant to do that. But if you have Niemelainen and you have Broberg and you have Lagesson, what are you going to do? Samarukov, obvious, those guys have to play. Samarukov has to play. So I could see him maybe moving over there to solve that problem. If injury doesn't solve the problem, as it often does, and creates a spot.
Well, we should mention Samarukov did play right side defense with Bakersfield in his first pro year and had a challenging first half of the year that year, and got more settled as he got moved over to left. Niemelainen was banged up a couple times during the course of last season. What did you make of Connor McDavid's comments? Did an availability yesterday, said the time's now to win.
Funny, because it seems like the pressure, the time has always been now. Ever since Connor McDavid got drafted, the time has been now. The time is really obviously now, though. I mean, they've gone all in. And they signed Hyman and Nugent Hopkins, two guys in their late 20s, to really long-term contracts, which, you know, if you're worried about 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now, maybe you should be with those deals. Sometimes they don't work out. A lot of the times they don't work out. But, Bob, this is the absolute prime of McDavid, Draisaitl, and Darnell Nurse's careers. This is the heart of the team, the core of the team. And I think that, you know, so, you know, I look at these hockey actuarial tables a lot, and I'm worried about the long-term deals. And I initially was a little bit iffy on both the Hyman and the RNH contracts. But when I thought about it, and, you know, and the argument that the time is now, it's there's no reply to that, but yeah, it is now. And, you know, in the past, we've gone down the same route, and we've been burnt a little bit with the Oilers. You know, the time was now when they traded for Griffin Reinhart. They wanted to speed up the clock on development of the team. When they signed Milan Lucic, you know, you could argue even last year when they brought in Tyson Barrie, you know, and that's delayed Bouchard's development, that, you know, that whole we've got to win now mentality took over and was a little too strong, but here we are, and it is the correct idea right now, and it may precipitate some more moves as the season goes on.
David, what do you think is the biggest storyline that fans are going to be following, your readers, on the cult of hockey here for through training camp?
Well, Yamamoto's situation is unresolved. So, you know, even though it's not the most important thing on the team, that's going to get a lot of attention because if he's not here and he's not signed, suddenly there's even more job opportunity on the wing. So people like Tyler Benson, Cooper Marody, Brendan Perlini, Devin Shore, they've all, you know, instead of just one job that they're fighting for, there might be two or three, depending on how many forwards they go with. So, you know, it's just a really, I'm really, Cooper, we've talked on the show, I've heard you talk this week about Tyler Benson and the opportunity he might get. Well, I'm kind of, if Yamamoto doesn't sign, I'm kind of a little bit pumped about Cooper Marody's chances because that guy has ripped it up in the AHL. He is a fantastic passer of the puck, carrier of the puck, offensive player. And if he can get his defensive intensity ramped up, and if his fitness is at the highest level, if he's coming to the camp that way, he could make the team, and he could play well for the Edmonton Oilers in the short term. And let's see what he does in the short term. Maybe that's going to happen.
David, quick couple texts here. This text comes in, love David. Another texter, Vince, says, David's right, time to get a vaccine passport. We're already trying to ramp up ICU. Overloaded ICUs affecting the ability to deal with these spinoff problems from the pandemic. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. And here's one tied potentially to the ECHL, but don't tell this guy that. What are your thoughts on St. Albert product, Matteo Gennaro, signing in Bakersfield? I think Gennaro's going to have the Holloway injury, and I had Holloway slotted as a center to start the year on the farm. That's all but going to guarantee that Malone and Esposito are going to end up playing two guys on American League deals, are going to be playing at center this year. One of Benson or Perlini is probably going to be in the NHL. That's going to mean to me that Matteo Gennaro is going to have a heck of a chance to carve out a niche for himself in a support role. He's a bigger body that could score a bit at a big year in junior to close out his junior career. What are your thoughts on Matteo? Since people are, you said you were comfortable talking about guys that may be ECHL bound, David. What are your thoughts on Matteo Gennaro?
Yeah, usually I like to look at elite prospects so I could look at their statistics first. So, Bob, I don't know the player. So good luck to him. I can talk a little bit about James Hamblin, who's going to have more opportunity.
He's been an interesting story because he did pretty well last year in Bakersfield.
He did. He came on, and they, you know what, the coaches, you can see when the coaches like a player. Like, you know, you can see Tippett, for instance, likes Josh Archibald. And I think they had the same feeling about Hamblin. They were using him a lot. And he's just one of these guys who's fast and really hustles. And the question is, can he raise his skill level and his confidence level, his fitness level, all of these things to play in the AHL? And the other interesting thing for the AHL is, where will Turris end up? Like, is he going to be down there, or is he going to be in Edmonton? Because so that's, he could be down there as well, competing for a job
Well, he won't be competing for a job. That's just
He'll have a job.
He's, you know what? He didn't look too bad in the captain skates here last couple days. By the way, Mateo Gennaro, back-to-back years, 43 and 42 goal seasons in the Western Hockey League, former Winnipeg Jets draft choice. He had 26 goals, 56 points in 61 games with Wichita last year in the Coast. Did play parts of two seasons in the American Hockey League for Tucson, which is Arizona's farm team. There you have it, David. How do people follow you again?
For the Cult of Hockey, at D Staples on Twitter.
There you go. That is David Staples. Thank you, David. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
You bet. It is 1:25 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
This texter comes in on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 126. I 100% agree with David Staples. Vaccine passports are the only way out of this horrible situation. Again, you can text us at any time, 780-496-0063. Keep it coming. We're going to take a completely different path here at 1:35, but not before I tell you that you can keep texting us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street and 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. And there's an old saying in the car business. Cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin is committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, payments or interest rates that are too high, vehicle you may want to sell, refinance, or trade in for something different, go visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford, or call them at 1-877-477-3673 or visit BrentRidge.com. Speaking of Wetaskiwin, their current MP, Michael Lake, for Edmonton-Wetaskiwin, is a former Edmonton Oilers employee. Worked for the organization for a number of years. Really interesting guy. He's been on the CHED airwaves over the years. Strong advocate for the autism as well. At one time, headed up a bill for the Canadian Autism Network that had even a couple local Liberal MPs, or at least one local Liberal MP, support. And then once it was suggested to him that he shouldn't cross the floor and lend support for a Conservative bill, that Liberal MP ended up not supporting the bill. Very disappointing. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back, Michael Rupp will join us on Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.